All right, thank you, Dennis. Appreciate that. Well, welcome to Your Right Christian Fellowship. I see some faces that I recognize and some I don't. So we're just so happy to have you guys worshiping with us. Thanks for coming out this morning. My name is Paul Karras. I'm the senior pastor here. And if you haven't been with us for the last couple of weeks, we're moving into a new series, so it's a good time to join us this morning. We're looking at this series of The Generous Life. Last week, we talked about gratitude's nemesis, grumbling. And so we talked about just how, you know, when we grumble, what we found out from Exodus 16, we're really not grumbling against what might seem to be the obvious thing in front of us or the thing that's plaguing us, but we're really grumbling against God. And I said that series or that sermon would serve as a backdrop for this series called Living Generously. And so because gratitude is a big part that I believe kind of unlocks our hearts and the floodgates of generosity. When we're grateful, you know, we feel that sense of blessing on our lives, and in that case, we're more free to be a blessing to others. And so what I want to just start off with is just explaining a little bit about what this idea of living generously is not. And simply, it's not just about your money. I know some of you guys think you hear this and you're like, we're talking about money. Church needs money. Actually, if I could mention a word of praise, and we're actually doing okay. So good job that you're faithful and you're tithing, things like that. So we're not asking for more money. We're not sending letters out, emergency letters, hey, we need more money, we're in trouble. That's not the case at all. So, but what we are talking about is what it means to be generous. And is money part of it? Sure. It's part of it because it's one of the resources that God has given us. So I don't want you to think, oh, he's not talking about money. But I'm not here standing before you say, we're in desperate need. What I'm talking about is something totally different. And generosity, if we're being honest, comes in all shapes and forms. Yes, money's one of them, but generous, living generously, it can be with our thoughts, right? And for example, how many of us, when we have gone into a grocery store, or maybe it's a restaurant, or maybe we're just out walking around, we've seen somebody, and our first thought is, what's wrong with that person? Why are they dressing like that? Heaven forbid that that thought even crosses our mind when maybe new people come into our church. What are they doing here? Generosity can begin with our thoughts. And so, again, thinking about this, one of our mission statement here at Great Christian Fellowship is to love God and love others. Right? And so that's one of the things we want to do. We want to do that daily. And a lot of that begins in our mind, how we think about God, how we think about others, and sometimes how we think about ourselves. Sometimes we're our hardest critics. But other ways we can be generous. We can be generous with our words. The book of Proverbs in 18 says, careless words stab like a sword, but the words of the wise bring healing. Do we use our words to bring healing to the people around us? Do we build and encourage one another up? I had a couple of conversations this week that sometimes in church, it feels weird to tell somebody, hey, thanks for doing that, right? Or to maybe clap after someone worships the Lord. And I know in our mind, we're like, we're not trying to glorify the person, but the truth is, Scripture is very clear about how we're supposed to be building up one another and encourage one another. Now, I can't tell you where people's hearts are, but I'd rather be on the side of encouragement than too little encouragement, right? So again, how do we use our words? We can be generous with our money. We just talked about this, right? I think for me, every time I am able to give, you know, out of my pocket, out of my wallet, out of my savings and things like that, it frees me from being too preoccupied about myself and it puts the attention on somebody else. It allows me to be free. We can be generous with our influence, right? Most of us would not be here today if somebody wasn't generous with their influence. We have all different social networks that we ascribe to, connections and things like that. And the question for us this morning is, how are we being generous with our influence? Are we influencing people for Christ? Are we showing them Christ's love? Again, a lot of us would not be in this church or in a church if somebody wasn't gracious with their influence. We can be generous with our time. Sometimes the best thing we can do for another person is take time to stop and help, or stop and listen, or stop and celebrate. Are we using our time generously, or are we just holding it all to ourselves? I don't have time. I can't do that. And closely related to time is, can we be generous with our attention? How many of us have been in conversations with people and we're already thinking about what we want to say? No one does that, right? Nobody does that. Or how about with our cell phones? This one's a tough one. This one hits me a little bit, you know? How many times have I been home and Kim's trying to say something to me and I'm on my phone? Does she have my attention? Does my children have my attention? Does my children have my attention? Right? We live in this attention deficit world. But there's nothing better when someone gives you your full attention. It's a great feeling to know that they're invested in what you're saying. Oppositely, we know the feeling when someone's not invested in what you're saying, feeling dismissed and put aside. We can be generous with our belongings. We all have stuff. And we use that to bless in creative ways. And as your pastor, I'm just going to bare my soul a little bit here. I know this is going to be, hopefully it doesn't disqualify me. One of my loves is cars. You know, I like a clean car. It's been pretty hard living here to keep a clean car. But I like cars. I like muscle cars. I like, you know, so we got a Jeep and things like that. Yeah, I like them. The idea of someone else using that, you know. My dad used to have a saying, let me do it because if I break it, then I can only be angry at myself instead of you. It's kind of the same principle with my stuff. But really, we're just stewards. God has given us things to be a blessing to others, not to hoard it to ourselves. And sure, part of stewardship is taking care of what you have. But we can be generous with our stuff. And so I hope you're seeing the point here that generosity is far more than just money. It's part of it, but it's far more than money. And really, generosity is for everyone. It's about everyone. You don't have to be a millionaire to be generous. I think the Powerball is up to $1.6 billion right now. Anybody win last night? Feel free to be generous if you want to me. But here's the spoiler for the whole sermon series. I'm going to lay it out for you right now. What it means to live generously, it means these two things. Identifying an opportunity, and step two, take action. I'm blowing all my big points right here. And here's the bonus part of this, doing this. If we're generous, I guarantee you we will have a tremendous impact on this world and the world around us. People take notice when people are generous. And so this is the pathway for the next 3 weeks. We're going to look at these three ideas to the generous life. The pathway is awareness, action, and impact. So there you go. If you're like, good, I heard the sermon, I don't have to come back for the next 2 weeks. Don't do that, because we're going to unpack this over the next couple of weeks. And so we're going to get into right now looking at unpacking this idea of awareness. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to open to Mark chapter 5. If you don't, the verses will be on the screen. But we like to stand for the reading of God's word. But just before I do that, let me pray. Lord God, we thank you for this morning. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would open our eyes once again to the truth that lies within the scripture. I pray, Lord, that it would change us, challenge us, move us to action, God. I pray, Lord, that we would have the same holy discontent that you had on this earth, that you didn't want to see anyone perish. You were always about others. And you knew that people needed a Savior desperately. So God, as we look at your word, I pray, Lord, that we'd be transformed by it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, beginning in verse 21. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by the name. And seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him, and a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was this woman who had been discharged of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. And she heard the reports of Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd, and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch his garment, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt her body, that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out of him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing that what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." You may be seated. So a little context of the story that's going on here. Just before Jesus crosses, this comes right after he had healed a man possessed by demons. And in this very intense encounter in the life of Jesus, he's taking a boat across to the other side of the lake. And lo and behold, as he's getting away from one crowd and one ministry of healing and things like that, he's greeted by another crowd. Right? His reputation precedes him. People just want to be by him. And so they're pressing in around him. And in this moment here, as we just read, you can't miss it, there's this obvious need, right? This religious leader comes to Jesus, and he's got a daughter that's dying, and he is just desperate, right? And so he presents this need before Jesus, and again, how does Jesus respond? "Of course. Let me go help." Right? Let me be generous with his time and what he has to offer. And so he drops everything he's doing and immediately goes to Jairus. Now, this is where the story gets interesting, right? So we're told that a large crowd is pressing in around him. And I just want to stop for a second, right? Because really what this crowd represents is the busyness of life, the chaos of life, and things like that. And so it's easy for us, if you just take a minute here, how busy is your life? We got people bumping into you, you know, there's sights and smells and sounds and things like that. Your senses are perceiving all sorts of things. You got work, you got family, there's all these things, friends, your jobs. And so if we were trying to put a number on all the different ways we perceive or sense something in a day, I think it's pretty impossible. Our brains are so unique. Actually, science and research tell us that our senses never stop working, even when we're asleep. Ever notice that? Are you the type of people that are on your iPads or your phones before you go to bed? Your brain is just in overload. It's actually one of the reasons why they tell you don't get off it before you go to bed. Because your brains are actively sensing things constantly. It's not like your brain just goes to sleep. We're being bombarded. And this is the point, that we're experiencing things every day without actually being aware of some things. Jesus here has a clear mission. He's going to help this rabbi's daughter healing. And there's the craziness going on around him. And again, it's this idea, if our brain's efforts were to categorize every experience, it actually makes it harder for us to be fully present and fully aware on an everyday basis. Think about how you're being pulled apart or in different directions. Actually, Kim and I were just having a very practical conversation about family yesterday. And sorry not to share this, but you know, there was things I was sharing with her. Well, she was at work. She was distracted. It's just natural. I said, "Let's talk when we get home." Right? So I can have your attention. You guys have been there with friends, family, couples. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes information is missed because our brain is in overload. We're hearing, but we're not necessarily hearing. So when we look at Scripture, we see Jesus here as a person, you know, it comes out that he never misses a moment. Have you never noticed this about his life? As you read through the Gospels and his encounters with people, he's perceiving on a level that sometimes I just can't make sense of. And so, again, he's heading to this crowd. This is his opportunity to minister. and then he's confronted with a more subtle one. Man, I can't tell you how many times I've been on a mission to go someplace, and I see something, and I'm like, I just don't have time for that. I mean, it could have been very easy for Jesus to take that posture. I got an obvious need I got to address. This other one, not so big, right? This person, this woman sneaking through the crowd, she's desperate. But again, it's not like this big interaction. She reaches out and touches his clothes because she believes fundamentally somehow she'll be healed. And so, again, this story, as we just read in Scripture, again, I always love Scripture because, yes, it may have been written over 2,000 years ago, but really circumstances are the same. The same for us. And yet, we're taught there's a more excellent way. And this is it. Right in the middle of an opportunity, Jesus, he encounters another opportunity so small and so subtle that no one would even blame him if he just kept going. And so this is what it says in verse 30. The Bible says, Jesus turned in the crowd and he asked, who touched his clothes? Jesus is demonstrating here a remarkable awareness. Think about this. His antenna is up. People who have this awareness, this gift of awareness, their antenna is constantly up to the needs of people around them. And so in the middle here, it's almost comical, right? The disciples find it comical, right? He says, who touched me? His disciples are like, Jesus, did you not notice? There's like 100 people pressing in. Of course you've been touched. Someone bumped into you. But I think the question in some minds, you know, I know for me, and maybe his disciples were thinking this, is how in the world did Jesus do this? How was he so aware of what was happening around him that he didn't miss this opportunity to minister? And again, this is an important question for us because if we think of Jesus as our blueprint of someone to follow, right, to live and model our lives after, this leads to this key thought. If Jesus was aware of the needs of others, then this needs to be our goal as well. This needs to be our goal as well. Look, we all live incredible busy lives, and I'm sure we prioritize in our lives what's important. And it's obvious that Jesus could have prioritized this dying daughter of a Jewish rabbi, and he was. But he still had time in his life to stop and address other things. So how do we as followers of Jesus, this is the question, have the same level of awareness that he had with this woman? And I want to give you the answer to this, but before I do, I want us to understand why the question is so important, because it's tied to our first principle. There's two principles here we're going to go over, and it's this. Awareness activates generosity. Awareness activates generosity. And this is the first step to the generous life, is to become more aware of what's happening around us. And so if we're going to cut through all the busyness of our schedules and our lives and the things that we're bumping into, we have to learn how to have our antennas up. And so the disciples in the story were actually clerked. Everyone was touching Jesus. Everyone is bouncing into us. It's kind of a big analogy for our lives. So how do we discern, right? How do we know what needs our attention? How do we become aware of opportunities for generosity that exists all around us? And there's just one simple answer to this question. We pray. We pray. Right? Take a look at these verses here. Mark 1:35. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and he went out away to a secluded place and was praying there. Luke 5:16. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. Matthew 14:23. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. Man, if that doesn't hit home, we got mountains all around us. Anyone ready to trek out there? Maybe if you're hunting. It's cold. Luke 15:16. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. Oh, I'm sorry, Luke 6:12. It was at this time he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. So here's my suggestion. if we're really going to be generous, if we're going to live the generous life, and we need to hone our skills of this idea of awareness, it starts with prayer. And if I could be so bold, based on these scriptures, maybe try praying every morning and just asking God this simple question. Lord, make me more generous. Help me to see the needs around me. Prayer is essential for us to become aware. I have no doubt that Jesus' time with the Father conditioned his mind to see the needs and the things around him. Romans 12 says this. We know this verse probably really well inside and out. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And another translation just brings it down a little bit more directly. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Paul is telling people who are following him, hey, let God transform your mind. How does that happen? It happens with time spent in prayer. Jesus was, he knew the will of God because he spent time with the Father, and so he knew his Father's wishes and his direction. When we don't spend time in prayer, we kind of cut ourselves off from that information. And so, again, being transformed by the way we think starts with time with the Father, which leads us to principle number two. Awareness always begins with a shift in perspective. We need God to give us a new perspective because our human nature is to walk in selfie mode. Man, I thank the Lord that I didn't have access to a cell phone until I was in my 20s. Did some of you guys remember living life without a cell phone? Right? But I wish it was different for my kids. I'm not saying cell phones are inherently evil, but all the selfie world. Sorry, MJ, I'm going to pick on you for a second. I love you. But I taking all these pictures, I go, what are you doing? She goes, I'm communicating with my friends. Do you type words? No. And we laugh because we do it too. But again, we had the advantage, most of us had the advantage of not being so tethered to that phone in our early years. You know? But the truth is, we live very self-centered. And the only way to move our eyes off ourselves is to spend time with the Father. And this allows us to shift perspective. And I can't tell you how true this is. Man, when it's about me, the best thing I can do is go to prayer. I can't tell you how that plays out in my marriage. I can feel justified, angry about something, but when I turn it over, those thoughts to the Lord, perspective change. I wish I did it quicker. I wish I could tell you I do it fast. Sometimes I'm a slow learner. But how different do I look at my family when I spend time with the Lord? Or maybe with just real hurts. Or in my ministry, my jobs, my time, my finances. Man, when I spend time with the Lord, I have a perspective change about what it's all about. It transforms me. So again, spending time with God is essential if we're going to have a greater awareness. And so I'm going to wrap up here. And I have two challenges for us this morning. The first one is this. For the next 3 weeks, as we continue through this series, I want to challenge you to ask God every morning to make you more generous. Just start with a simple prayer. And in that, what I'm hoping is that you develop the eyes that Jesus had. Dennis sang that song this morning, looking through his eyes. This is really what prayer is about. It's about taking eyes off of us and seeing the world the way God sees this world. That's why, again, when I read those words and I thought of that song, I'm like, this is perfect. What we're asking is to have that awareness that Jesus had, and it starts with prayer. The other part of this is that this morning Rick talked about this special collection. Actually, when I finish praying, I'm going to ask you to do something a little bold. Again, this is a love offering. This is give as you feel led to, but these plates are going to be in the front. We're not going to pass them out. I'll have a small video that we'll play, and it's actually a pretty good video. It talks about living generously. It's just words on the screen with some background music. That's your opportunity to come down the aisle here, place in the plate. Because what I'm trying to do, what I'm hoping that you'll see is that as we start living generously, we'll start seeing the needs around you. I was talking to Mary about this a few years ago, and Mary, I'm sorry if I get the context wrong. I don't know if you were rescued by Mountain Rescue. I think that's the way the story goes. Well, thank you. Mountain Rescue, right? What does she do? Simple act of kindness, she brings some pizza for them. You know what they say? No one's ever done that for us. These are people who serve us and put their life on the line sometimes. Do we see people? So this is the first step of many. I think I laid this out last week. I call it the 30,000 view. I showed you all the different ways that as a congregation we're going to be generous all the way through December. This is just a simple first step to take our eyes off of us and acknowledge the people around us. And I thought, why not start with our emergency services in town? I don't know where it will go from there. But man, I want these people to know that there's a church in this town that cares for them, loves them, and we're praying for them. And then let's leave it up to the Lord. So two things this morning. One, begin this three-week challenge. Ask God every morning, Lord, help me to be more generous. Number two, second challenge, more immediate. What can you give and bless our emergency services with this morning? Let's pray. God, I thank you for this time that we can come into your house, Lord. And I really believe that it honors you when we give of ourselves to others. This is the example that you left us in Jesus. You knew that we had this incredible need that we could not meet on our own, that there's nothing we could do. And so we thank you for your son, Jesus, going to that cross, dying for our sins, and paying the penalty, doing the very thing we couldn't do. And God, I pray, Lord, that as we embody the life of Jesus, that would be seen in all that we do. Yes, generosity is more than our money. It's part of it. We've learned this morning that it can be our thoughts and our words and, again, our stuff and how we bless, our attention, all these different ways. But God, I pray that this little exercise here this morning here would be a blessing to others and maybe open somebody's eyes to your love. And I have no idea where that will go. But I trust that you will use it the way you see fit. God, help us to be more generous. We pray this and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Kay is going to activate this video, and you can come up during it.